Here on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, I want to give just a little bit of an introduction. The Gemara is trying to clarify exactly what Rabbi Yochanan holds about the following case. It's Motzei Shabbos and it's Yontif. Now, after Shabbos, we recite Havdalah in Chonei Nadas, but that's not a possibility on Yontif, because Yontif doesn't have Atal Chonei Lodom Das. So there's a quote here from Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that the halacha in this case is like Rabbi Eliezer, which means that we integrate Havdalah into Modim, because Havdalah is Hodah, you know, thanking Hashem, and Modim is a brach of Hodah, and therefore it's appropriate to integrate the two. The Gemara then says that this Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was an outstanding example of a disciple who says very carefully exactly what he heard from his Rebbe. Because there are a couple of possibilities of what he could have heard from Rabbi Yochanan. He could have heard that Rabbi Yochanan would say, Halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer. No, let's paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in this case. Or he could have said, perhaps, Nirim divrei Rabbi Eliezer. And each one of these different languages, these different lashonos, has a slightly different meaning. Like Nirim means, you know, it's my opinion that we should accept Rabbi Eliezer, but it's not really la halacha, it's not halacha psuka. Whereas halacha ki, if he would have said, which he did say actually, halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer, that's already a very serious kind of language. That means that if somebody asks me a question, that's how I'm going to paskin for him. There's another language which is called matim. Matim means, again, we wouldn't publicize that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, but we'll let it go by. Like if somebody asks us, we'll say, okay, you could do like Rabbi Eliezer. And in that context, the Gemara quotes another one of the Chachamim by the name of Rechava. He came from the city of Pumpadisa, and his Rebbe's name was Rabbi Yehuda, and everything he said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda was very, very precise. You know, he would be sure and meticulous to say it over with the same language that he heard from Rabbi Yehuda. So, for example, he speaks about the Harabayis. In the Harabayis, they had what's called itztabos. These were sort of like shelves, but they sat on them. They were sort of, you know, replacement of chairs. And he tells you exactly how Rav Yehuda described these itztabos on the Harabayis. He says, Stav, kafel hoya, v'hoya stav lifnim, the whole ganze business. Okay, fine. Now we'll start with Omer Rav Yosef. That's where we really want to begin today.
Okay.
So we have a lot of, shall I say, evidence that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that in the case of Motzoi Shabbos, Shechalil Spiyontif, we should insert Havdalah into Modim. But the question is, to what extent have we accepted that shita of Rabbi Eliezer? Amar Rav Yosef Ana Lo Hayadana V'Lo Hayadana, which literally means, I'm not sure if we assume Matim or we assume Modim or Halacha. To what extent there are various degrees, you know, to what extent we would publicize the halacha Rabbi Eliezer, or maybe we wouldn't publicize that halacha, but we would answer that question if somebody asked us. And Rabbi Yosef says, I don't know exactly on my own, what would be the precise formulation of the halacha Rabbi Eliezer. Ella, but he says, However, I could figure it out based on Rav and Shmuel. Ditakinulon marginosa bibovel. They made a takana in Bovel that's like a pearl, a margalit. You know, something very beautiful, something very, very special. And what was their takana? Their takana was that on Havdalah, on Motzi Shabbos, Shechalios B'Yontif, Havdalah should be recited in the middle bracha. And this is called Vatodienu. And right before we say Vatitein, Vatitein Lanu es Yom, and whatever the holiday is, right before that we say Vatodienu Hashem Elokeinu es Mishpatei Tzidkecha, Vatlamdenu Lasos Hukei Ritzonecha, Vatanchilenu Zmanei Sason V'Chagin Dova V'Torishenu Kedusha Shabbos U'Kvod Moed V'Chagigas Aregel Ben Kedusha Shabbos Kedusha Yontif Hivdalta V'Es Yom Hashvi V'Sheish Nimei Amasa Kidashta Hivdalta V'Kidashta Es Amcho Yisro B'Kedusha Secha. And then after he finishes that, he recites V'Titen Lanu Es Yom Chag Amatzis Es Yom Chag Asukas Es. So this is the Nusach of Vatodienu. And Rav and Shmuel established this beautiful tradition in Bavel that we should have in this situation of Motzi Shabbos, Shechalios Yontif, we should insert Havdalah into the middle brach. The middle brach is what we call the Kedushas Hayom. And what happens here is that Havdalah means that we are no longer in a time zone of Kedusha Shabbos, but we haven't yet entered into Chol. We entered into Yom Tov. So that's the emphasis here on Ben Kedusha Shabbos and Kedusha Yom Tov Hivdalta. All right, now we'll begin the Mishnah, Mirtz Hashem. The Mishnah continues with the subject of the rest of this perek, which is all about Tefillah, and certain things that are completely prohibited to add to our tefillos. In other words, although we would like to add whatever we can and maximize tefillos, but there's certain things that should be omitted. Ha'omer al kan sipar yagiru rachamech. This is a no-no. We don't say in our tefillos, God, you had compassion on the birds. Right, the halach is that if the mother bird is hovering over the smaller, the fledgling birds, you have to first take away the mother, shoo away the mother, and then you can take the fledgling. So a person wants to say, you know what, God, you're a rachum, you're a chanun, and in all your compassion, there's such a great compassion in the divine being, and we see it here in the case of the bird, that you have commanded us to send away the mother bird before you take the little chicks in order to have compassion on the mother bird. She shouldn't see you take the chicks in front of her eyes. And if a person in his tefillah, in his prayer, he says, Al atov yizocher shmecha, in other words, you should be remembered because you're bestowing on us so much good. Or, for example, he doubles the language modim modim in the Berchas Modim, Bechol Elu, in all these three cases, Meshaskin Oso. We shut him up and we tell him, this is not the right, proper way to speak to God in your prayers. Now, let's take each case on its own. The first case, he says, Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha. And basically what he's saying is, that God's compassion expresses itself in this mitzvah. Well, it's a mitzvah. We don't know. We can only guess and speculate about the reasons for mitzvahs, but we don't make a definite comment, oh, we know what the mitzvah is all about. And this opens up a whole discussion about what we call tamei mitzvahs. To what extent can we speculate about why God commanded us to do this, that, or the other thing? And this Mishnah reflects the idea that we don't have the right to speculate. I mean, you can speculate, but don't make a statement in your tefillos, God, you should have compassion, because look how much compassion you have on the mother bird that she shouldn't see you taking the fledglings. So let's just go through a little bit of the psukim in the Torah in Parshas Kitetze with regard to Shiluach HaKan. It says, Ki yikari kan sipo lefanecha baderech b'chol eitz o b'chol o ala oretz efrochim o beitzim ve'aim rovetzes ala efrochim o ala beitzim lo sikach ha'aim ala bonim shaleach tishalach es ha'aim ves ha'bonim tikach loch l'man yitav loch ve'arachta yomim. Now, if a person adds this to his prayers, and he says, well, I know the reason for the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. I know it's because of your Rachmanis, O Lord, on the mother bird, that she shouldn't see when we take away the Afrochim and the Beitzim. And then he adds this whole business to his tefillah. He wants to show in his prayers that he has in mind to look in deeper into the meaning of the mitzvahs, and then he wants to integrate this mitzvah into his supplications. God, you had rachmanis on the tzipar, how much more so will you have rachmanis on me and my family and so forth? So this is not a good idea. Why isn't it a good idea? Because again, we don't know exactly why God commanded us in any mitzvah, certainly not in the mitzvah of shalach to shalach asa'im. We don't have the right to define the mitzvah and explain it. Once we start explaining mitzvahs, we can get into deep trouble because, you know, we could later on disprove our theory, our thesis, and then, oh, everything goes down the tubes. So we want to avoid giving any definite explanations for the mitzvahs. Now, let's add one thing over here. If somebody says, Misha Richem Shalo Lishchot Osov Espinopium Echad Hu Yerachem Aleinu, if a person adds to his tefillos and he says, he with a capital H who has compassion and will not allow us to slaughter the parent and the child of these animals Biyom Echad on the same day, such a compassionate God, Hu Yerachem Aleinu, he should have compassion on us. All of these cases of Mishaskin also, because again, you're trying to interpret, you know the reason for Oso Vespino. The Torah says not to slaughter both of them on the same day. Now, the Yehuda wants to know, why didn't the Mishnah mention this din of Oso Vespino? Why choose Shiluach HaKan? And he answers, Mishum she'ein tarko shaltana laharach bedugmaot, u'mashe nokta mishna shiluach hakan v'lo osov espino, hu mishum she'bishiluach hakan nemar l'man yitav loch v'arachta yomim. Here's where we can fall into the wrong, into a deep hole. We read the pasuk and it says, l'man yitav locha v'arachta yomim. So you start thinking that this mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan is a golden opportunity for Arichas Yomim. And just like you had Rachmanis on the Tzipor, so you should have Rachmanis on us and the Yitav, and it should be good for us, and we should have Arichas Yomim. And the Torah opens up with this parsha of divine compassion. And this is the mitzvah that Hashem gave us so that He will inculcate Rachmanis into our very nature. So the Tanya tells us now that even though this mitzvah cannot be pinpointed as a mitzvah of Rachmanis, it's a Gzeres HaMelech, HaTova Shevtiach HaKosuv Huschar Al Kiyum HaMitzvos. Which means the following, that although we discourage giving explanations for the mitzvahs and say, well, Shiluach HaKan is all about the Rachmanis of Hashem, and the root of the mitzvah is Rachmanis, so the Tanya tells us that this mitzvah should not be reduced or attributed to Rachmanis. It's Gzeiras HaMelech. And Vatova Shivtiach HaKosuv Hu Schar Al Kiyum HaMitzvos. That whatever reward is spelled out by the Torah in the balance of the Torah, those rewards are promised to us as schar for the Kiyum HaMitzvah. So we don't have to start looking and addressing, well, why does God bestow, or how does God bestow goodness? We got to do what we got to do. The Torah is going to command us. We have to accept the mandate from the Commander-in-Chief. And then we'll see as we go through life in Mirtz Hashem that God's promises to bestow upon us schar for Kiyum HaMitzvos will certainly come to fruition. So the Gemara says the following. Bishlem, I understand, modim, is shaskin also. If he says modim, he repeats the word modim twice, then we have to quiet him down. Why mishum demichse kishte reshuyos? Right, just about the time of the Mishnah was a popular, there was a popular movement to try to explain all the mitzvahs and to try to find rachmanus, you know, that we see specifically the midah, the attribute of rachmanus, and we don't know what to do with the evil in the world, right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence is rachmanus, so why do we see so much evil in the world? Well, what's the source for all this evil? So what was born as a result of this, philosophical or theological problem was a belief that, Chas v'Shalom, there are two gods. There's one God who's in charge of the good, and the other in charge of evil. When a person says modim, in that context, again, it's hard for us to see it in our context, but back in the day, it was meant to say, it looked like shtei reshuyos, like he was looking to one side and saying modim to one god and modim to another god, and he had been taken away or influenced by this movement which is called Gnosticism, the belief in two gods, the god of good and the god of evil. And therefore, he should really be avoiding something like modim, because that double language, Adrabba, seems to indicate that there is another force. Of course, the pasuk is telling me not lafuke, not to believe that there are two reshuyos. But when you say modim, it sounds a little fishy. Well, why did you repeat the word modim? Ah, you know what? Maybe you were nitfas. Maybe they caught you in one of these kind of influences and you know, fraternities or some sort of group of people that teach this religion, the religion of two gods. And you must have been nitfas, you must have been influenced. Otherwise, why are you saying modim twice? So that's called Meshaskin also. Now hopefully he will explain to the Chachamim after they shut him up that he didn't mean what you think he meant. That he'll come up with hopefully some good answer as to what he meant by modim. But in the meantime, we have to be a little suspicious because again, that was a rampant problem in the theater of theology of its time. Now the pasuk that he wants to publicize has Al Tov Yizacher Shmecha. In other words, we had in the Mishnah we had two things. We had Kan Tzipor Yagi Rachmecha, and then we have Al Tov Yizacher Shmecha. Now, if that pasuk is taken literally, al tovi zocher shemecha, then that's not a good thing either. Why? Nami, here too, mishma, it sounds like al tova velo al hara, that you will be remembered, your name, your great name will be remembered litova. And why is that so? Because I don't want to thank Hashem for anything but the tova. You know, if I experience evil and suffering, if I have to endure that pain, that's ra. But that doesn't belong to the realm of God. God is only al atov yizok hashemecha. So that v'lo al ra'ah. Now we have a principle, kishem shemevarchim al atov, kach mevarchim al ra. And again, this is very important theologically, because it means that ra, evil, comes from the same God as tov comes from. It's not two different gods. Usnana, we have in a Mishnah later on, Chayev Adon Levarach Al Ra'ok, Shem Shevarach Al Tova, Elo, Al Kansipo, Yagira, Chamecha, Mai Taimo. That, why is it that Meshaskin also, if he declares Al Kansipo, Yagira, Chamecha, and the Gemara says there are two opinions on this. Pligi Vatrei Amoroi B'marovo, so there was Machlokas Amoroi in Eretz Yisrael, between Rabbi Yossi bar Ovin and Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida, Chad Omar Mipnesha Matil Kina B'maisa Breishis. Okay, we'll talk about that. V'chad Omar Mipnesha Ose Midosav Shalakadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim. So the second explanation we're familiar with, and that's what we intuitively sense was going on over here, that it sounds from his tefillah that God commanded that we should send away the mother bird because of the rachamim that we have to have for birds.
Right.
And that's not true, because the emes is that it's not mishum rachamim, ela gzeros. That sometimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Malchei Melachim, he just says that this is what I want you to observe, and let the speculators, leave them outside. We don't want to hear speculations. All we want to know, and this is the nitty gritty of Torah mitzvahs, is that God commanded us to do so. And these are gzeros. They don't always have an explanation. We don't always know why Hashem commanded us on X, Y, or Z. El gzeros. So we want to notify the people of Israel. And again, now it's Elixeros Kidei Lodia Sha'am Yisrael Hem Avada V'Shomrei Mitzvosav Uxerosav V'Chukosav. That we have to make an announcement, we have to make a public statement that we are a servants of Hashem. We observe His mitzvahs, His gzeros, His chukim. We don't make distinctions. We don't try to understand why this, why that, explain, rational, no. Now, there are mitzvahs that the Umas Ha'olam make fun of us. The Af B'mitzvah Shasotan V'Umas Ha'olam Mishivin Aleim V'Omrim L'Yisrael Matzorach Yesh B'mitzvah Zu. So let's go over the last point. He says that the Umos Ha'olam and the Satan, they start ribbing into us. You know, they start needling us. And they say, well, what do you need this mitzvah? What do you need that mitzvah? And our attitude has to be that these are gzeros. You know, this is what the king commanded. And we may or may not understand the mitzvahs. Again, there's no question that Shiluch HaKan has rachamim as part of its reasoning, its rationale, but that's not necessarily the purpose of the mitzvah. The purpose of the mitzvah is to show that we are servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are fulfilling His will. But let's go back to the first answer of the Gemara. Chad Omar mipnei shematil kina b'maisa b'reishis. He's causing jealousy amongst the creatures of Hashem, as if God has rachmanis on the ophos, on the birds, v'lo al kol shar hanivroim. Now again, I don't know if there's any particular animal that heard this Shliach Tzibur when he davened for the Omud, and he mentioned something about thanking Hashem for the good, or you know, explaining away a mitzvah by speculating that it's because of the need of rachamim. We don't know that the animals are listening in. So what do you mean by kin of a mice of gracious? That everyone's going to be jealous of the birds because, look, God gave this rachmanis on the birds. The answer is God has rachmanis on all His creatures. And not necessarily because of this, that, or the other thing. You know, the bird was chosen here in this context. It could have been any other animal. So therefore, we're not going to look and speculate about this particular mitzvah, why it was given at that time, in this particular context. Shematil kina b'maisa b'reishis. I think matil kina b'reishis is not what you and I think it is. It's not kina. It's not, you know, it's not that the animals will be jealous of the birds. That's hard for me to believe. I don't know if I can accept that. But what it means is that there's some sort of, in a sense, change. We're sort of undermining by saying, you know, God, I can measure your rachmanis. This is your rachmanis here in Kan Sipur. That itself, to say that you could take it upon yourself to evaluate God's midah of compassion. I mean, what are you saying? That God has compassion here in this context? And let's say, for example, Poseches Yodecho must be L'chol Chai Ratzon. L'chol Chai Ratzon. That you know, we have to limit God's Rachmanis. Oh, I see God's Rachmanis here in the parasha of Shiluach HaKan. That's not so. God's Rachmanis permeates throughout the entire world and in all of human history. So when you say that this mitzvah is indicative of Rachmanis, of this midah Rachmanis, you have to realize that you're opening up a very dangerous situation, that as if God's midah Rachmanis is only on the birds. Okay.
It's hard to understand the whole word Rachmanis to begin with. Like, I understand that point, but I'd always understood it as very difficult to understand Rachmanis. Like, what's the, like, kind of like, you know, I'm going to do something that's going to hurt you, but I'm going to do it in a way that's going to be less hurtful.
Right. No, the Torah's not going to say... You know
what I mean? That's why the Zera reason, to me, always made much more sense. It's like, I'm going to take the eggs, but I'll do it in a way that I'll shoo away the mother's bird first, okay, so I won't hurt you as much. If you apply that reason to many other things in life, you would say, it's not such a rock. You know, it's like, I'll rob your house, but I'll do it in a way that I won't disturb everything in the house. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll do it in a nice way because I've rocked me. You don't have to clean up. I've always understood the Xera reason. To me, it's much more, we don't really understand it.
Right. I think that, you know, number one, obviously the Torah recognizes that you have a right to take the you know, the little birds, and that's not a violation. But I think at the same time, maybe the Torah is telling us that a mother bird has a very close attachment to her, to her fledglings, and here we have to be sensitive to the psychological anguish. And osav espino, imagine you know, you see.
But again, you have the right, but it's not a thief.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to do.
You don't have to take the hit.
Well, actually, Ira, that's a machlokas. Yeah, that's machlokas. Yeah, I don't remember if it's in Marcus or where I saw it. Yeah, that's a machlokas. Whether or not you
Kikarei Khan, you happen to walk, right? Isn't that one of the arguments? Is that Kikarei Khan, you don't have to walk.
Correct. You don't have to go through the desert or through the forest and look for Shiloh HaKhan. But I think if you chance upon it, then I think it's, again, there are different opinions, but I think we paskin that it's obligatory.
I've heard of people that want to do the mitzvah and have gone out of their way to basically do the mitzvah,
right,
and other people can criticize them and say, what are you doing? That's only Kikarei Khan, like, if you find it.
Right.
Not to go out, like you say, to the forest, let's go find some eggs.
I think there's somebody, I'm trying to remember where, that knows exactly, you know, that's his spetz, you know, he knows exactly where to find Shiloh HaKhan, and he actually takes people, you know, drives them, guides them to find the Shiloh HaKhan, because Shiloh HaKhan is supposed to be a mitzvah which has a great deal of skula power, you know, secret powers.
Rihasyomim,
and maybe also having children and so forth and so on. Hahu did noches kami de Rabba. So there's a person who became a shliach tzibra in the presence of Rabba. V'omar, and he adds to his tefillah, ata chasta al kansipor, ata chus verachim olenu. You God who had compassion on the kansipor, you'll have compassion on us. Omar Rabba, kama Yoda haitzurba birabonon liratsuye lemore. So at this point, Rabba says something that seems to be antithetical to our Mishnah, that this kind of a prayer, which is based on the fact that God has a tremendous amount of compassion on the Kansipar, how much more so he should have compassion on us, that's a wonderful way of a scholar figuring out how to find favor in the eyes of God, how to make a supplication that God will respond to. So Rabba's praising this Talmud Chacham for doing exactly what the Mishnah says, Meshaskin Oso. Omalei Abayva Meshaskin Oso Tanan. So Rabba explains, Rabba Nami, when he was Meshabeach this person, he certainly admitted that this is not something that you should be mispalil. It wasn't that Rabba had forgotten the Mishnah. Rabba Adarab wanted to know if Abai forgot the Mishnah. El chadude la Abai hu deboi. He wanted to sharpen Abai and expected Abai would say to him exactly what he said to him, namely that the Mishnah tells us Meshaskin also, that this is not a proper tefillah. It's an invalid mode of prayer. Now the Achronim want to understand what is this chidud here. Either Abai knows the kash from the Mishnah, and it's an obvious kash from the Mishnah if you know the Mishnah. Well, what's the chidud here? Now, Abai impressed Rabba by saying he came up with the kash. And furthermore, if this Tzurvi Rabbanon made a mistake and he went against the Mishnah, would you be meshaber such a person? So again, the Tzlach gives the following answer. Hayamakom lomer shamishna eno sekes kishabol asayim tvar b'loshen tchina, quote, kein terachem aleinu at aleinu. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a person who tries to just interpret the mitzvah and glorify God because look at the divine compassion, the sensitivity of the Almighty. But he didn't say it in the context of a bakasha v'tchina. And maybe you would think that Derech Bakoshet's Mutter, that's what Abai came along, and he quoted Meshaskin also, And why should be Meshasek him? After all, it's possible that he'll end up with a Derech Bakosha. So if he says, Ad Kan, Higirach Mecha, then we should let him be, because ultimately, hopefully, he'll get around to say to God that how much more so should you have Rachmanis on us? Which is exactly the way Rava seems to be praising that Surmi Rabbanon. Ela Muchach, Sha'af Ksha Omer B'derech Bakosha, Meshaskin Oso. That even if he's asking Hashem, well, look how much compassion you had on the Katzipur, please have compassion on me. Even that's not accepted. V'zeu achidud, sharei lo nizkar v'mishnah din zeh mefurash. In other words, if he's asking, if he's praising God for his rachamim in Katzipur in order to lead up to a bakasha, then that's a good thing, according to Rava. Oh, so comes along Abaye, and Abaye says, wait a minute, I have an insight. The Mishnah didn't mention this explicitly. It seems to me, if I understand correctly from the Tzlach, that Rabbah never meant to praise this person. He only did it in order to arouse Abaye to make this question and ask this kash, but the chiddush of Abaye is that even though the person spoke about the divine attribute of compassion as it expressed itself in Katzipur, but nevertheless Abaye says he wanted to do so in the context of tefillah, that asking Hashem he should be merachim on us. But even that has to be excluded. Even if his praising of Hashem for the midah of Rachmanis and Katzipur is only meant to lead up, it's a segue to his own bakash, his own petition for divine compassion, even so it's not acceptable. Because you have no right to say that this is the lesson that we learn from the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Okay, Ahu Tinoches Kamid Rav Chanina. Another story about someone who was a Shliach Tzibur in the presence of Rabbi Chanina V'Omar. He said in his Tfilah, Kel Agadol Agibor V'Norov Hadir V'Izuz V'Hayirui Hechazak V'Amitz V'Avadai V'Anichbad. And we could say Tzuvem and Tzuvem. But he lists all the different midos here. Himtimos, Rav Chanina waits until he finally exhausts all the different adjectives that he knows in his lexicon. And Kisim, and when he finishes, Amalei, Siyamtiru, Lekulu, Shivchei, Demorech, have you exhausted all the possible praises that we could give to the Almighty? Lovely Kule Hai. Meaning, why are you going through this whole list of shvachim? You know, we have our list of shvachim, and now you're adding your own, you know, expanding that list. If you're expanding that list, then I expect you to go on ad infinitum. There's no end to the shvachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, lovely Kule Hai. And Rabbi Chanina now gives the punchline here. I'll tell you why this is not an appropriate approach. Anan hani tflasa de amrina. We are allowed to say three shvachim, three adjectival praises. Gadol, Gibor, and Nora. And not only those three praises that we have, Godel, Gibor, Nora, even those three praises we really shouldn't be, because again, once you start, it's endless. I loved Avrina Moshe Rabbeinu, Bo Raisa, V'yosu Knesset Gdol, V'sikninu, B'tfila lo avin yechol lememelu. We wouldn't have the right to say it. It's only because we're standing on the shoulders of Moshe Rabbeinu, and after him, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. And that's the matir for Shevach. We need a matir, because once you start with Shevach, it's endless. And if you can't, if you stop, then you're really doing injustice. But these three, Hakel, Agadol, Agiva, and Nechma, this we're allowed to say. But only this. And this is based on the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said it, that it was codified in the Torah. It was codified in many different ways, by different greats. Kel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. And that's what we have. We are standing on the shoulders of those greats who recited those prayers and those shvachos, those praises to Hashem. Now this phrase, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora, comes from Sefer Nehemiah, when Ezra was praying Al Chete Ha'olim Igolus Bavel. That's what Rashi says. And the Gemara Megillah says that when Ezra came to the people of Israel to awaken them to do tshuva for their sins, Hispalalu Halavim V'Omru V'Omru Bis. His palalu halavim v'omu b'tfilasam v'ata alokenu akel agol agiva v'anora shomer abris v'achesed. So this is a beautiful praise that we find that Ezra praised Hashem, and the Levim also praised Hashem. And that's perhaps what Rashi means here when he says that the Beis Din of Ezra established these adjectives describing Hashem in great glory. If not for that, you know, there were trailblazers who came before us, and we're gonna stand on their shoulders. Then we wouldn't even say any of these shvachos. We need someone to rely on to teach us how and when we are allowed to say shvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'at amart kuli hai v'azalt, and you continue with all these descriptions of Hashem and His might, and then at the end of it all, you pack your bags and that's it, finito. So you want to add all these descriptions and the shvachos. You can't do that. We can only do what we're allowed to do. And if it wasn't permission granted to us, we wouldn't even be allowed to say any shvachos. So Rav Chanina explains why it's not roy to add shvachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mashal Melech Basav Adam Shehayelo Hayulo Elef Alfe Dinre Zav. Okay, one second. I do ain't low since I'm just reading one note here. He says, Mashal Mel Basmadam Shayulo Elef Alfe Dinre Zav Hay Makalsin Oso Bi Dinre Shal Kesef. In other words, whatever you're going to say about the Ribono Shel Olam, it's always going to be lessening him and in a sense, cheapening him, diminishing his greatness. You know, you're going to tell the king that he has so much silver when he has gold. It's Gnayulo. That's not a Shevach. And here, too, you're going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has these Shvachim. You're not even going to touch the tip of the iceberg. So the best we can do, and this is where we have to stay within the strictures of Halacha, is to mention these three Shvachim, HaKel HaGol HaGibah Nora, which Moshe Rabbeinu himself added to his tefillos, and he established that these would become the themes for the ultimate brachos. I don't know if he worked out every single word, but certainly the concepts and so forth.
Right.
So this is what we have here about Shevach and Hodoyah. Who is man to praise God? You begin to praise God, you realize what a futile effort is, and as a result, it's gnai. Instead of doing justice and glorifying God, you're really, in a sense, diminishing God. So this is all based on Rabbi Hanina. Right? He was the one who spoke to this Shliach Tzibur that was Marich, you know, with all these different Shvachos. That was Rabbi Hanina. So now the Gemara brings another statement of Rabbi Hanina, a very famous Gemara. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim. Everything is determined by God, and almost everything at the time of birth. How tall it'll be, how short it'll be, how rich or poor it'll be, will it be a great scholar? Everything, when I say great scholar, what I mean to say is that he has the intelligence, for the capacity to be a great scholar. Now, will he actually become a Talmud Chacham? Well, that's already in the gather of freedom of choice. That's already not something that's innate from his birth, and therefore chutz miyira shamayim. She'ein masur biyado, ein masur bidei shamayim, im yehadam tzadik urosh. The one thing that God, in a sense, relinquishes and is beyond divine control is whether man will be a tzaddik or a rosh. That's a matter of freedom of choice. So this is what God gave into the reins, into the hands, and the control of man. He'll decide on Yirah Shamayim. He'll decide whether he wants to make himself a tzaddik or a rosh. He'll decide whether he wants to utilize all the gifts that God bestowed upon him. Shenem Ariyata Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach Ki Im Liyiras Hashem Elokecha V'Loleches B'chol Drachav Li'avol So V'Lavaris Hashem Elokecha V'chol Avavcha V'chol Nafshecha. We see from this pasuk that God is asking man only for Yirah Shamayim. Now, I'm not sure why it says Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. I mean, that sounds, you know, like I'm not asking you for much, as if it's this is a cinch. Li Yiras Hashem. I don't know. Yiras Hashem is not such a cinch. So that's this concept of chutz miyira shamayim. Now it's interesting because very often we ask Hashem in our tefillos for siyata d'shmaya to help us even in spiritual matters. But what does it mean if God intervenes in our spiritual life and our choices? Then it's not hakol b'day shamayim chutz miyira shamayim. But there's another principle that says habol esayeya habol etayr mesayin lo. In other words, we have to do what we have to do, and if we do it well, then Hashem promises that as a reward, He will help us to go even further. So that's what's going on here. Now the Gemara asks a kash on this pasuk when it says ki im li yiras Hashem Elokecha. It sounds like, oh, you know, God's not asking much. In fact, the Gemara, Atu Yira Shamayim Bilsa Zutrasahi, to reach this level of Yira Shamayim, is that a light matter? Is that something easy? Va'omar Rabbi Hanina Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Ein HaKadosh Baruch Ein Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bebeis Gnozov Ela Otsar Shel Yira Shamayim. So it sounds like, well, let's see, how does Otzer Shal Yerushamayim, Shnevi Yerushami Otzoro, I see. From the fact that it's called Otsar, it's like in a treasury. You're like, you have in Fort Knox, you know, these big, big bullions of gold. You know, that's what you find in the treasury. So, Emel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beis Genovel Otsar Shayir HaShamayim. God has this locked up, so to speak. And where does God keep it? In his Otsar, in his chambers, in his... how do you say Otsar? What's the word I'm looking for? Not just storage, but... but I'm talking about... What's the word where they lock up the real expensive stuff, you know, that belongs to the king, you know?
Oh, okay.
All right, it'll come to me as we go along. I don't want to waste that time, but the fact that Yerushalayim is there locked up, you know, in the Otsar, that indicates how tremendous it is. It's not a Dover Cotton, it's a Dover Guttle. So the Gemara answers in. You're right. Yerushalayim is not a big deal. Why? Because the Gabi Moshe, right, this pasuk is addressing Moshe Rabbeinu. And Legabi Moshe, Yerushalayim Milsa Zutrasahi. So what does that mean, Legabi Moshe? This pasuk is Mo Hashem Elokecha Dore Shoel Me'imach. I mean, Moshe is actually addressing the people of Israel. Just one second. I guess the key im, that's already Moshe's own flair, so to speak. You know, I'm not sure if what I'm saying is right. This pasuk is in Sefer Dvarim. I mean, Sefer Dvarim, a lot of Sefer Dvarim, according to some, anyway, is Moshe Rabbeinu's formulation, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually accepts and dictates back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So maybe when Moshe Rabbeinu says Ki Im, what he's saying is that for me it's Ki Im. It's only that. It's only Yiras Hashem.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that it's a Milsa Zutrasa. It's not an easy matter. Maybe for Moshe Rabbeinu it's easy. So we go back to our original premise that Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'imach, and that's Yiras Hashem, which includes so many different dimensions. So let's not put too much emphasis on the key im, as if Moshe is downplaying the amount of effort and so forth that a person has to expend in order to reach Yerushalayim. That's not the point. Fine. Now, why is Yerushalayim so easy relative for Moshe? The Omer of Chanina, Moshe liyodim shemavakshem imenu kli gadol. The Yeshlo. So you ask him for a large utensil, he has it. Doma Olov, this Kli Gadol, is Kli Katan. In other words, he could have given a larger Kli, but you asked him for a smaller Kli, so he gave you that. So therefore, if you would ask for a Kli Katan, and he wouldn't have it, Doma Olov Kli Gadol. It looks to him like a gigantic piece of furniture or so, not furniture, but clay by it. So what? This is all a mashal to explain Moshe Rabbeinu. That for Moshe Rabbeinu, Yerushalayim is like the comparison between a kli katan and a kli gadol. So what is this mashal teaching us? Yerushalayim hi bidei Adam v'lo bidei Hashem. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshul, Lemishi Eshlo Es HaKli. So Moshe Rabbeinu has the Kli because God gives the Kli of Yerushalayim to man. Vila Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshul, Lemishi Eshlo Es HaKli. Not sure why, but fine. What do you have there? You have something?
Yeah, so I think it means that to Moshe Yerushalayim was like a small kli. It was not a problem. But to other people, Yerushalayim could be, you would think it's like, I give you, like if you have A, but you really need B, then even if A is big and B is small, that means B is very hard to acquire, so that's very big in your eyes because it's hard to acquire because you simply don't have it. But right. Once you have it, whether it's big or small, it's there, so it's easy to acquire. So for Moshe, Yerushalayim was easy.
Right.
For other people, it may not be easy.
It's much more challenging.
Because you don't have it.
But the only thing I don't understand is, maybe you can help me with this, because he's quoting some of the Achronim who say, Ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe L'Misha Ein Lo Es HaKli. In other words, in this mashal, he says, Kli katan vi ein lo. And he's saying, if I read this correctly, he's saying that this is a mashal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Misha ein lo es HaKli. Lekach, kishomar Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrael, ki im li yura, hoyes Rabbeinov, ki tov katan in nesha, hu bal bechira, hu biecholto liknos, es yiras shomayim, also Adam Shivakshim and Kli Vieshlo. Ach Apostle Giras Hashem Hi Otsro Nemral Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kevanchu Mosa Librios as Yiras Shamayim Vi Ein Viyodo. When it says he doesn't, you ask him for a Kli cut and he doesn't have it, it means that Kodesh Baruch Hu already gave freedom of choice to man. So all the Yerushalayim is now Viyodo in the hands of man. Legabav Hu Dover Gadol. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to consider it as if man achieving Yerushalayim is a fantastic thing. It's a great moment of grandeur for man to achieve Yerushalayim. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yerushalayim to the hands of man, it means he doesn't have the Kli. Man has the Kli, so to speak. He has Yerushalayim in his hands, and therefore, if somebody would ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Kli, he doesn't have it, and therefore he considers it in the hands of the next one as a Dover Gadol, as something very impressive.
Right.
Let's just see where we're up to. Right, maybe we, yeah. I guess we better stop here because it's late.
Right.
Modi modi mishaskino soam rab zera kala omer shma shma. If a person repeats shma twice, is ki ilu ke omer modi modi. Also, it seems like there are two reshuyos that he said shma shma. Meisve the gemara sakasha on rab zera. From a brisa, hakoriya shma v'kofla hareza maguna. If a person says shma and he repeats it, it's maguna. So it sounds like maguna udhavi, it's only maguna, but shesuke lo mishaskinale. It's not something that we have to absolutely, it's intolerable, and we have to shut him up. Rabbi Zera seems to equate it with the case in our Mishnah Modu Modu where we have to shut him up. It's mamish hachashash of a kind of a kfira, lo kasha. Hadi Omar Milsa Milsa Vitani La Vahadi Omar Psuka Psuka Vitani La. In the Brisa, when a person repeats Shema and it's only a Dover Maguna, that's Milsa Milsa Vitani La. That's a Dover Dover Vakoflo. In other words, every word that he said, he would repeat it. And that's not Mishaskin also. That's not Doma. That's not similar to Moda Vishtei Rishayos. It just looks like he's kind of being laid back and he's making fun and he repeats himself. That's Maguna. But Ha, in the case of Rab Zera of Mishaskin also, that's a case of the Omer Psuka Psuka. that he reads pasuk and pasuk and he repeats the pasuk, the entire pasuk. And by doing so, it looks like he's repeating the pasuk because he's modeh b'shtei reshuyos, and therefore we have to be meshaskin also. So the Gemara asks, Omale Rav Popla Abaye, why is it that if he repeats a pasuk, it looks like he's modeh b'shtei reshuyos? Dilma meikara lo kivein daita. Maybe it's a situation in which he didn't have the proper kavanah in the first round. Ulabasov kivein daito. So when he repeated it, now he did it with kavanah. So now he recites Shema with kavanah. He's not being modeh to shtei reshuyos. Amar lei, so Abaye responds to Rav Papa. And here we turn to Daf Lamed Daled. Chevrusa klapi shmaya mi'ika. Can you deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, relate to him the way you would relate to a person who's your own chavrusa? You know, that you're not careful about the kavanah of what you say. Ilo kivein daita meikara. If he didn't have kavanah when he was speaking to God on the first round, is machinin lei, we should beat him up. Bimar pezafta denafcha ad machave daita. We should take a kurdus shel nefachim. You know, that's the hammer that the carpenters used, and beat him up until finally he'll realize that he has to be margul himself to have the right kavanah. Okay, we'll stop here.